Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. Welcome to His Story, Torah, today. We want you to come on and gather around Torah this morning. Let's be fed with the word of the Lord, because that we know that is how we live today. That's how we are able to survive. That's how we live, is by the word that comes out of His mouth. We're thankful today for the word of the Lord and for how it sustains us, how it sustains us, how it gives us life, and that more abundantly. And so we're excited to be with you here today. Listen, our parashat for today is that of parashat C. The word C is how this passage begins. And today we're going to be reading from Deuteronomy 11, starting at verse 26 through Deuteronomy 16, 17, verse 17. And then your middle passage for today is Isaiah 54. This is a prophetic passage today, 54, 11 through 55, 5. And then you go to John chapter 7, verses 37 through 52. Those are your readings for today. Of course, we're not going to be able to cover all of them today, but we are definitely going to cover all that we can this morning during this Torah reading. And so let's begin. Let me turn up a little bit of this air here. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and we are certainly ecstatic about the fact that we don't have to fumble around in the darkness, but that you have provided a blueprint for us and that we can build on the foundation that's already been set, and that is that of Yeshua HaMashiach. And so we thank you today that from the beginning you begin to lay out the plan. From the beginning, that part was concealed, but in this season, in this age, it is being revealed. And so we thank you for the insight and the revelation that we're going to receive as a result of delving in and diving in to this word this morning. We thank you right now that it'll be given to us, and we'll know what to do with it in this season. We'll be as the sons of Issachar, having the sons of Issachar, the spirit of them, that we will know what we ought to do in this time and in this hour. We love you so much, and we won't take it back. In the name of the Lord, we declare it so. Amen and amen. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting at verse 26. So much is here, and I just want to share all that I can this morning. You guys keep me in prayer. There's a lot of transitions going on, and this word, see, is amazing that the Torah portion opens up with this, because this is a word that God has really been dealing with us with for the whole year. This seeing and this hearing thing is a major deal to the Lord, and it's a major deal, a deal creator or a deal breaker in your life. So the Torah portion opens up with see, and that word behold is the word that means to see. It means to foresee. It also means to perceive. Okay, so it deals with the imagination. And God was dealing with me yesterday about that imagination thing. It's the action of your images. I thought that was so powerful. He said, imagination is the action of your images. Listen, this is the same word that's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when referring to the womb of man, you know, woman, the womb man, who Adam named woman, mother of all living things. Her response to her sight of what the adversary was showing to her, what the serpent was showing her, created a situation. So whatever response you give to what you see is what's going to bring the outcome. In her situation, it was pleasing to her sight. And that word pleasing or pleasant is the word ta'aba. Let's go back for a moment. The word behold means is ra'ah. And I've been noticing lately that I've been seeing it as re'e. So I have to go and study it a little deeper because there's so much revision going on. Every time we come into some more revelation and it's released, then the enemy is seeking to reassign, to reroute us, to reestablish a thing, because the truth being seen is a problem for him. So nonetheless, the word means what I said it meant. And this word pleasing or pleasant, as it was in Eve's time to the eyes, was ta'aba, which means to desire, to wish, to long for. It discusses an appetite of a thing, and it speaks to the covetousness in a bad sense. And why do I say that? Because the word covetous is not bad in and of itself. It's how it's applied, whether it's bad or good. You know, the Bible talks about you coveting spiritual gifts, okay? So that's the good sense of covet. The bad sense of covet is to covet something outside of that thing that is spiritual, that you should not be going after anything else but that which is spiritual when it comes to covetousness. This word ta'aba also speaks to the greed. Greed is involved in this thing. What is the greed about? To bring delight upon yourself. It's not for the benefit of anybody else. So this pleasure of the eye, this seeing, and this acceptance of what one sees is bringing a pleasure to the eye that causes this position of longing and appetite. Now, that doesn't always mean that it's a negative thing, but again, how you apply your sight is going to denote the outcome that you get. So we see here in chapter 11, starting in verse 26, let's read this. It says, behold, I set before you, and let me turn this music off because I don't know if it's still playing in the background. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Behold, meaning see. I need you to take a look at this. We know that that word means to intentionally look upon, to look very intentionally up and down, to examine a thing, to gaze at a thing. This is important because a lot of times we are overlooking things that we should normally see because we're not looking at it long enough. We're not examining it hard enough. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this is how this is opened, and this is Abraham still sharing before he closes his eyes. He's still sharing these things and bringing remembrance to the people of God about the things that God has already talked to them about, the things that have already been put in place for their blessing. So he says, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of Yah your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Listen, and it shall come to pass when Yah your God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are you hearing me? All right, so let's stop for a minute because we want to talk about this blessing curse for a moment. But I want you to denote in verse 28, there's a very specific inference being made here that if you are not following the blessing, if you particularly are following the curse, then the curse is a result of your idolatry. You need to hear this. The curse is going to come as a result of your idolatry because there is something that you are going to put in front of God. There is something that you're going to put before him and make more important than him to yourself. It's the same thing that happened in the garden. I need you to hear this. Same thing. They were given a very specific a course to follow. They were given everything that they needed. They had more than what they needed. Nothing was being withheld from them but the knowledge of good and evil. And what does that mean? It's not the knowledge of knowing good. It's not just the knowledge of knowing evil, but it's the knowledge of being able to entangle, intertwine, operate out of both of those things at the same time to make it look like what you want it to look like. Okay, so I wanted to share that with you. The word blessing here is barakah, which is a source, it's a provision, it's a gift of peace and prosperity that brings Yah praise. I'm going to read that again because this is how the Lord gave it to me to break down the definition. It is a source of provision. It's a gift of peace and prosperity that brings the Father praise. It's a liberality. You know, when somebody is liberal, they're not holding anything back. So this blessing of the Lord, I'm going to keep my eye on the land. There's not going to be anything that you need that's not going to be provided. This is literally putting mankind back in its garden existence. You know, now in this situation, there are things that you are visually seeing before you, unlike the garden where you didn't see the serpent and he creeped up on you. But in this season, you're not going to have no creeps. You're going to know they're in the land. Are you hearing me? And don't worry about it. Don't be afraid of them, as he's been saying to them. Do not fear, because I am before you. I've gone out before you, and I'm turning them over into your hands. Are you hearing me? Just like I did the kings, those difficult kings with the chariots of iron. Are you hearing me? Just like I did the Egyptians, I am bringing them to a place of not. I am turning them over into your hands. You have no reason to fear. I am bringing their influence to an end. Are you hearing me? I want you to take this word of the Lord for yourself prophetically this morning, because this is where we are. We are getting ready to cross over into the land, and we've actually already possessed it because we've wrapped our minds around it, and we have no fear, and we are gearing ourselves up to go in here and to possess. This word possess, we talked about it the other week, denotes that you are dispossessing something else. It means that you're coming from another place into this place of abundance. It talks about enjoyment. Remember, we talked about that the other week. This word possess talks about the enjoyment. It talks about inheritance. Are you hearing me? So this is important that you make all of these notes to yourself. Now, what does the word blessing mean further? It means to be adorned and to be adored and to be adorned. This is what the Lord gave me, to be adored and to be adorned. So it's something that's on you. It's something that's around you. It's something that's in you. You know, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him. You made him a little lower than yourself and you crowned him. There's that crown, that surrounding and glory. That's an inside and an outside thing. So to be adored and to be adorned is how something is looked upon. Now, the curse is the word kilala, which means to be made light of. Understand that this word here means to be made light of. Okay, I want to recall the origin and the blueprint of man right here because of how man was made. We talked about this a little bit on the broadcast last night. The original image of man, the original likeness of man, what that looks like. It's the God image. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And it's the God frequency. And when you make light of that, when you pull that back, this word also means to be abated, which means to diminish, to pull back. That's talking about the appearance of a thing, to make despicable, to be treated with contempt or dishonor. It's to be trifling. And I know that we use that word trifling in our urban lifestyles, but the word trifling means to literally be thought of as less of. The appearance of a thing being despicable or contemptuous or dishonorable. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this is important to make these notes. I want to go back up for a moment because we want to talk about the woman for a minute. I don't want to get off of this without talking about her for a minute, because this is what where I'm referencing as a result of where we are this morning in Deuteronomy. This reference is to the womb of man, of the manifestation. This frequency that is to multiply, to bring forth, to be able to usher in a thing, okay? And this woman, let me see here. The reason I'm going back to this is because I want to deal with the imagination thing. I want to deal with the action of the image. And God brought this action, this image into action by creating the woman, right? And so we know that the woman she was the one that perceived that the thing that the enemy was sending her way or talking to her about or trying to show her, she was open to that. She perceived that it was a good thing, right? And this word woman is the word isha, which is the opposite of man. Now, why am I discussing this? Because I was just giving you the facts and the original blueprint, a concept of mankind as he was created, mankind being both woman and man, created in the image and likeness of Yah, right? Okay, so here we are talking about this woman who is isha and the man who is ish. The woman means wife. And this word ish means husband. So they were already originally designed to be what they were. Are you hearing me? Coming straight into that wife and that husband. But the word man there also, because she is the opposite of man, woman is. She's the man with the womb. She's the opposite of man. It also means servant. Boy, is that a lost art in the world we live in. The word servant, mankind. I want you to look at that word for a minute, because there is a kind of man. The Holy of man, he's a champion, he's a great man, he's a man of high degree, he's a man that is a steward, a manager. Are you listening to me? And this is what God was looking for from the very beginning. So I wanted to share those things with you really briefly so we could lay a foundation for where we're going. Of course, we don't have that much longer. We've got like 15 minutes longer. And so I want to spend the rest of this time attempting to give you all that I can regarding these matters. Now, we know we are going from 11 to 16, or 11 verse 26 to 16. But I want to say this, that we talked about Ray A., the parashat Ray A, beginning with the dramatic appeal to choose to obey the commandments. It's the scene. I want you to see a very specific thing the Lord is saying, to choose to obey the commandments, okay? I want you to see that there are two things before you. You have two options. You remember we were talking about options the other week, and really in this option, in this season, the only options that you have prophetically are to go into this land and possess it, or to die out here outside of the land, die in the wilderness. Are you listening to me? So a blessing if you follow God's way, but a curse if you choose idolatry and forsake the way of the Lord. This is important. You need to note that there's a personal responsibility being given here to make a choice. And a lot of times people don't want to make a choice, but even your insolence or your inability or your involuntary position to not make a choice, you have made a choice, or a choice has been made. He continues his speech further by explaining the laws in chapter 12. He starts out with this: these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land. What I love about God, I keep telling you this, is that he doesn't do anything without giving us clarity or definition. Even if he's just giving us a piece of it, there's going to be definition and clarity. There are going to be all of the things that you need to be laid out to give you the right instruction and to move you in the direction that he's calling you to. So you're going to have to first entirely destroy. This is what he gave them. And we're in this season. You're going to need, we started this outside of the land, you know, because when they were outside of the land, the Father was really utterly destroying, or attempting to utterly destroy, the things that were a part of them, the things that they had gravitated towards, the thing that had become an active part of their lives. I mean, they were slaves. They came out of a slavery mentality. But before that, they were in royal positions. They were in authority. They were in charge. And when the king grew up that did not know Joseph, then they were put into bondage because of the greatness of them, not just the innumerality of them, but because of the strength of who they were, their position financially, all of that was an issue for this king. And so he took them into captivity. Of course, it was prophetically announced because of the fact that they refused to continue in the ways of God. And anytime you refuse to obey what the command of God is, anytime you refuse to continue in the ways of God, you're going to be headed for trouble. Are you listening to me? Slavery is always a result of not following the law of God. I don't care where the slavery is in the world. I don't care what it is. I mean, even if you think about, listen, I want you to think about this. Even if you think about human trafficking, which is not a new thing, it's a very old thing. Even if you think about that, but 99.99% of the time that children are taken into some kind of, other than just being outright kidnapped, when we talk about human trafficking, we're talking about little girls that are online despising the instructions of their parents, when really it's a problem because parents are not putting enough stipulations and they're not having enough parental constraints. Now, God gives constraints. I want to show you the importance of good parenting, because while we're talking about this scene, I'm noticing in this season that there is a shortage of good parenting. Now, I'm not saying that people are perfect. They're not, because I was an amazing parent, but I was not a perfect parent. Even though I was an amazing parent and I had all of the right ideas and concepts for parenting, I was anointed to do what I did, I still connected to the wrong people. And so because of my connections, there were some interruptions in my children's life because of those connections. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But it didn't change the precepts and the concepts I had that were biblical and that were put in me. I'm looking at the concepts and the precepts of parenting in this day and age, and I wrote this note to myself that as I'm looking at this word, this power shot, this scene today, I want to talk about children just for a moment today, and they're seeing and what they are becoming as a result of what they're seeing. Because what we're looking at in this season, I was telling my mother this morning, I got to be in this place for a reason. I got to be seeing all of this and be involved in all of this, all this for a reason. I know there are multiple reasons, and I know I can speak to the environment, but that's a process. And right now I am being, chambered. So until the word of the Lord that is perfectly formed in my mouth, because you got to understand, this is my family I'm dealing with. So until the word of the Lord is perfectly formed in me, then I cannot release it. I don't care how I'm feeling and what I want to say. I cannot release it until it's perfectly formed in me to release. And so these words that Moses is, they have been established by God. And so he's releasing the thing that's already been perfectly formed for them to follow. And so I'm looking in this environment and I'm noticing that this stuff is just out of control. I mean, children are just out of control. They're being given devices to manage them and to guard them and to raise them. They're being set in front of TV. There is no personal parentage or interaction with children besides just correction and the moments of I love you because I feel some kind of way, or the moments of get away from me because your daddy ain't nothing. I'm saying this is the mindset of the culture that we live in. Are you hearing me? And because of it, the children are just running wild because they have their own concepts and their own ideas and their own ideologies, and they're gaining them from the things that they're seeing. I'm watching this little girl this morning that's in my environment. She's not one of mine, but I'm watching her. She's in my environment, and she's looking at, this is how she wakes up. She's looking at whatever this prank is or whatever it is. It's so ridiculous. All of this stuff is so ridiculous. It's all of these adult, ridiculous concepts that she's pouring into herself. And I mean, she's intently viewing this. She's six and she's intently viewing this. Are you hearing me? And when you view a thing like that, you're observing to do something. Anytime you are observing something, there's an observance that creates a behavioral pattern. Oh my God, I hadn't planned to go this way, but the Holy Spirit's going to take us the way that he needs us to go. There's an observance to set behavioral patterns in place. And so in chapter 12, he said, these are the statutes and the judgments. Listen, I'm giving you the thing to see. I'm giving you the thing to look at it. I'm giving you things so that you observe to do these things. Now, the first thing that I'm going to need you to do is to utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations of which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains. He's given them all of the details. Now, why do I need you to do that? Because I need you to clear this land out so that it will no longer be defiled, so that it will be a name where I can, a place where I can put my name and I can sanctify it, and the things that I need to operate in this land can operate on the level that I desire this operation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Overthrow. I love it. He said utterly destroy and overthrow. And I keep telling y'all, we are in the season of overthrow. So these examples and these instructions are coming to you this morning to position you spiritually and prophetically for the thing that God is about to move us into. We are in the season of utter desecration and destroying the things of the adversary, the places of darkness. I promise you, even in our prophetic intercession, God has brought us into this place of destroying the strongholds, of destroying of the principalities and the powers over regions, and he's defining these things. He's giving more expansion to the definition in these hours so that we will have a clarity on the things that we're dealing with in the instance that we're dealing with them, so that we won't ascribe this thing to that thing. It's important that when you're dealing with the powers of darkness that you know what you're talking about, and that you direct this thing to the specific assignment so that this thing can be dealt with. And so the Father is telling them through his servant before he closes his eyes, listen, this is what you're going to have to do, and I need to tell you this, that you're going to overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn down their groves with fire, and you shall hewn down, I'm in chapter 12, verse 3, hewn down their graven images of their gods. Can I tell you something? We're talking about the action of the image. See, what you begin to perceive, what you begin to see or to foresee, it creates the image in your head. Can I tell you something? The woman with the issue of blood, she had no idea physically. She had no evidence, is what I'm trying to say, no evidence physically that healing was something that could be had by her. What she did have was a perception that created an action of an image in her mind. I need you to hear me this morning. She had a perception of who God was. She had a perception of who the Mashiach was in the earth. She had heard of him. She had heard about what other people perceived and saw. She took this thing and she saw it for what she needed to see it as. She was able to create an image. I need to remind you of the goodness of God to create man in his likeness and after his image. And this is the God frequency. This is the God functioning that he's deposited in his creation. And so even though this woman had no, she was not regenerated. She was in no way a woman that was of the faith, but she became a woman of faith because of the action of her images, what she allowed herself to perceive. It's really that simple. It's not that hard. I'm trying to tell you, it's not that difficult. And so there's a thing that must be done. Excuse me. Verse 5 says, ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. He said, break down the graven images, tear them down, and destroy the names of them out of that place. I don't even want you to operate like they operated, and I want the name of those idols, gods, I want the names of those things no longer to be represented here in this land. He said, you shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which Yah shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come. So here we go. There is a place that you're going to have to seek out. He said, I'm going to talk to you about some things. I'm going to give you direction about some things, but you're going to need to seek it. You're going to need to seek it, and you'll come to it. Are you hearing me? You shall bring your burnt offering. So he tells them all of the things that they're going to have to do when they set up this thing. But verse 8 says this in chapter 2. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. We live in a society where men just do whatever they feel like doing. Men just do whatever they feel is right in their own eyes. Whatever they perceive and the actions of the images that they create in their minds, that's what they go after. But God is saying to the children of Israel through his servant, listen, this is not what we're going to do going forward. I need you to know this is not what we're going to do going forward. We're almost done here. Father, I cancel every assignment against the people of God. I pray that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that the scales fall off of their eyes so that they will understand that this is not what we're going to do going forward. We are no longer in the season of doing what makes us feel good. We are no longer in the season of doing whatever we think is right in our eyes. You have given us the blueprint. You are laying it out before us. All we need to do is maintain our seek so that we'll find what you're bringing us to, because you're depositing. You're depositing those supernatural downloads in your people. And we'll know what to do when we get to the place. This is not difficult, people. We're going to know what we do, what we're supposed to do when we get to the place that God is positioning us. We're going to know what to do. It's going to be automatic, because anything that's on a hard drive, when you press the right keys, it just comes up. When you turn the computer on, when you activate the hard drive, it just automatically comes up. Are you listening to me? He said, but when you go over the Jordan, dwell in the land which Yah giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you the rest from your enemies. Because listen, you haven't received rest yet, because you still got some things that you've got to war with. Yeah, I know everybody wants to rest. It's not time to rest yet. Even though we're going into the promise, we're going into the inheritance. What you need to understand is there are going to be some challenges when you go into the inheritance, because first of all, you weren't born in royalty. So now you got to learn how to function on this level of royalty. You got to learn how to manage and how to function with this in your hand. Are you hearing me? There's some things that you've never held in your hand before. It's reminding me of something that my apostle said. You know, some things you've never held in your hand before. And when this thing is put in your hand, now you've been exposed to it, but now you've got to begin to operate on this level of exposure. Operate on the level of this encounter. Are you listening to me? This thing is so powerful today. I promise you, you need to go and read this thing in depth. Listen, he says this thing that I keep bringing up, and it keep coming up in the passages that we're reading over the week. Take heed to yourself. Going down to verse 19. Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite. This is important, because we live in a day and age where people think they can do whatever they want to do the way they want to do it, and what's theirs is theirs. And they want to come to you to receive of you, but they have no concept and no intelligence, no spiritual intelligence about the seed. I need you to know this before I get off the line. I'm going to stop right here. I need you to know this before I get off the line. It's important that you have a value for the seed that God has given you, because where you deposit the seed is where your harvest is going to come from. You're only going to get bread if you're a sower, and you're only going to get seed if you're an eater. Okay, I hope that made sense to you. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. But can I tell you something? The seed is what brings the bread. And if you never sow the seed, you'll never have the bread. Are you listening to me? So I'm going to encourage you on this morning's broadcast. This is something that I don't normally do, but God's bringing me into a season where I challenge the people of God to sow into the anointing that they're receiving of, because it's pertinent that you recognize this, that when you sow into where you are being fed, there is something that comes out of that. There's a dynamic relationship. There's a covenant that's made. And so what happens here at Rock Mogul Ministries, what happens here in this ministry, as we are expanding, as we are being enlarged, you're being expanded and you're being enlarged. So if you need to identify how to sow into ministry this morning, I need you to go to Rock Mogul Ministry. Go to KingdomAmbassadors247@gmail.com. KingdomAmbassadors247@gmail.com. Listen, I love you so much this morning. I'm excited about this word of the Lord, and I want you to understand that we're in a season of overthrowing. We are in a season where God is desiring his people to walk in his statutes and laws, that we might overtake and come into the inheritance and possession that God has called us possession of from the very beginning. I love you so much. Read Isaiah, because it's going to tell you the position that God desires for you in this season. I love you, and I appreciate you. Be blessed, and don't you forget it. God bless you, people of God.